Welcome to Road to Redemption, a show sharing powerful life testimonies, giving hope to those on their own road to redemption.
Welcome to Road to Redemption. My name is Colby Anderson. I'm your host today, and it is a pleasure. I've got a friend of mine, John Lyons, with us today. And John, how are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm so grateful to be here.
Yes, we're glad to have you. We're excited to kind of dive into, you and I have spoke quite a bit, and here on the radio, Road to Redemption podcast, we want to talk about your road to redemption, your road to Christ, and what that looks like and some things that happen along the way. So can you just start out and give us a little bit of background?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think, hopefully my story is a bit, relatable to a lot of people, and a bit of my philosophy for life is just that God is bringing us on an adventure and he invites us to show up every day. So like many, I was raised in a family, gratefully, with parents who loved the Lord. So as a young kid, I was raised going to church. I was raised with the worldview that Jesus is Lord. So as I grew up, that was my whole thought. And when anybody brought anything different across my, you know, spectrum, you know, my life, I've questioned it. I was like, wait, you're wrong. This is the truth. So as a kid, I have two older brothers, mom and dad again, they were together at the time. And, I was baptized when I was 9 years old. My whole mindset going into it was, I believe in Jesus. What else is there? This all makes sense to me because that was my only frame of reference. Mm. I didn't have any other exposure to others. So I was raised in a Christian family. It was fun. Grew up in a very small town, two brothers, the youngest of three. That made me grow up a little bit tougher, needed to be. And then we continued going to church until I was about 12. And then all of my teenage years, I did not go to church. I didn't step foot in a church. To my recollection, until I did so on my own again when I was about 20.
So I know you had mentioned to me your parents had gotten divorced. That's a very similar story to mine. At about 12 years old, my parents got divorced, and then church just kind of, we went in different directions, and church wasn't part of our weekly routine anymore. Is that the similar story?
Yeah, so mine was a little bit different. I think that was the beginning of things happening. Mm-hmm. As my brothers became teenagers and they started, you know, their own kind of journeys as well. We tried to do a little bit of home church, and what happened is I think we just got separated from community. My parents were still together at the time, but I think that was the beginning of a longer journey that led to my parents splitting up, is us getting out of community that was so important for them to have that, those friendships, those other believers around them to encourage them. It began a longer journey that we saw that started, that we understood unfolded years later.
So how long was it that you kind of walked away from God? When did you come back, and what did that look like?
Yeah. So I love, we're sitting here at a Destiny Worship Center, and I grew up in a very small town, Laurel Hill. If anybody's familiar, the mascot is the Laurel Hill Hobos. It's the only one in the United States of America that's the Hobos. So let's go. That was from my, my mom and her side of the family had grew up over there. And my mom was just a prolific athlete. And it was so fun growing up in a very small town, grew up with 30 kids in my graduating class. And anyway, so years later down the road, I'm still like, you know, quote unquote, like the good kid. I make good grades. But also, like maybe a lot of people, I'm also the kid that's doing stuff I shouldn't. I'm partying. I'm getting drunk when I'm very young. I'm going, having girlfriends and inappropriate relationships as I'm going along. And I'm realizing like the Holy Spirit really within me, I believe, was just convicting me. So I lived years and years just so convicted and just like torn on the life that I was living. And it wasn't until, it's so funny, God used circumstances, and he loves doing this. He used circumstances to bring me in where I moved in with a girl across the street from the church. Wow. So, and I just realized, man, every time I'd pull out and be like, man, I haven't gone to church. And it feels like 10 years. I was like 21-ish. And I remember just showing up at church one day, very back row. It was on a Sunday morning. I'd gone out the Saturday night before. And I remember just sitting on the back row. And that began a journey for me of, I didn't know who the pastor was. I didn't know anything, but I heard the Bible being opened. I heard someone talking about Jesus, and I could just feel my heart come alive. And I think for me, it wasn't the salvation experience then, but it was a God like very gently calling me back and just leading me, which felt like getting saved all over again, which has happened a couple of times in my life. I feel like where, man, I just saw God's heart for me, where he didn't leave me, he didn't forsake me. Even in the years where I wasn't even really paying attention to him, he was like, hey, I'm right here. I haven't forgotten about you, and I'm calling you in. And it was just beautiful. Like, even in the midst of my mess, where I'm like, oh gosh, there's so many pieces that are like apart. He was like, hey, I'm right here. And then, you know, looking back, it's easier to look back. But when you're in the middle of it, you're just kind of realizing like one little thing's happening. But it was just beautiful to see.
That's absolutely who God is, right? We go and I think sometimes we just feel so lost, or we've done so many things that take us so far away from God. And the beautiful thing about him is as soon as we turn towards him, he never left us. He was always there. It was us that turned away. And so, yeah, just grateful for the God that we serve.
Yeah, me too. And one of the things that began the journey, if I could tell a little bit more too,
yes,
is if anybody's been on that journey too, it wasn't just like, night and day for me necessarily. But I was starting this journey where God was walking with me, but I was still making some of these bad decisions. And I remember this one very, very specific night, I had maxed out. I'd gotten a credit card when I was 20, which is a terrible idea, and I maxed it out, and to the point where I did not have enough money to go out and buy a drink for myself, because I ended up moving out of across the street from the church. Big news, that didn't last very long, and I moved in with a friend to the next part of the journey across the street from the Destin Harbor, and we'd go out and have fun, and it was, you know, interesting college years. And I remember this one specific night, so broke, couldn't go out, didn't have any money to do anything, and just sitting in my room where God just brought me to a place where he's like, hey, like right now you have nothing, but I'm inviting you to have everything, to like, hey, step into this relationship with me on like this deeper level. When I just remember so clearly struggling with the Lord, I was like, Lord, I don't know if it's worth it to put down all these other things to follow you. And man, that led to just like sobbing like a baby for like a lot of the night, and just God just like waking up something within me that I remember the next few days, a friend invited me out and I didn't even say anything to him, but he could tell something happened to me. So like, I look at that and I'm like, I don't know what you want to call it, but that was the beginning of quite a bit of a changed life. There where like God had brought me to a point. And I think he often does. He brings us to this lowest point where we realize like all we can do is look up, you know, and then he's inviting us like, hey, let's go somewhere together.
You know, I've said before, rock bottom can be a beautiful place if you look up. If you look to God at your rock bottom, or maybe it's not your rock bottom, but at these low points, he's always there to lift us up. And you said something where it's, he's got all these great plans, but we have to step out in faith and start to walk in it by surrendering the bar life or you know, whatever it was for you, just like it's different for everybody. And then you start to walk in the will that he has for you, and you just can't imagine the joy that comes from that. And I've seen you just through the years, and I didn't know you really well 2 years ago, but I'd heard about you, and I'd see these, you know, Jesus shirts and I got a hold of one of those and I'd wear it and see somebody else and they say, yeah, I got it from John Lyons. I'm like, yeah, I did too. But just to see like the impact that you've made, not only on the local community, but you know, the ministry that you have in Nicaragua. And then that's led me to actually working with you, you know, because I want to align myself with men of God and have those in my life. So, so talk to me a little bit about some of that stuff, because that it's drawn me and many other men, to come around you just by the way you've walked and surrendered things. And now you're walking in a will that is completely different from where you were that night.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to learn to walk with the Lord. And still a disciple, still learning to walk, still learning to trust. And it's been a beautiful journey. And again, like I said, one of my philosophies is God is always inviting us on an adventure, and he's inviting us every day to show up. So that's how that kind of has worked for me. And I think like many others, there's these opportunities that come across our table to say yes, right? And sometimes they're like little God winks. Sometimes they're almost like tests where we know we need to say no to them and take the right path. But I got a call one day. So just to set a context for where we're at, a handful of years has gone by. I've started walking with the Lord. Me and my wife, I'm married to a beautiful woman named Fantasia, and she is a gift to the world and She's a gift fantastic. To me. She's awesome. And love her so, so much. And so a few years gone by, we had our honeymoon. We went on a mission trip for our honeymoon. We spent a week serving in the Dominican and a week enjoying.
Now that's a word for somebody. your honeymoon was a missions trip.
Yeah, and it was the first one for both of us. I'd got my passport, first time I'd legally left the country. That's for another story. And we got involved. And what I didn't know what was going to unfold is since then, about every 3 months since then, including now, we've been out of the country visiting and doing mission work. So that sparked something that we didn't plan for. It wasn't part of our, the goal or anything. So, we're married, getting involved, and I start working with youth. I got to work in a youth pastor role for about 6 years in various organizations and churches. And it was so fun. And I just started this journey and I got a call from someone. I got this adventure call from the Lord, and God worked through someone to call me and say, "Hey, do you want to go to Nicaragua?" I was like, "I would love to." I was like, "This is awesome." I didn't know where Nicaragua was exactly. I knew it was somewhere south of Mexico. I was pretty sure. I thought it wasn't in Africa, but even if it was, I was down to go. And I said yes. And what unfolded next was he told me that we're leaving in 5 days. I was like, "Oh man, I'm in. Let's go. I'm down for adventure like that." That's how I live my life. And I realized it was on my wife's 30th birthday is when they're wanting to leave. And what happened at the same time, the same day, right? I get this call. I realize my wife's birthday's on that day. And I'm like, "Do I even have this conversation? Because like, this could go either way. Do I start off saying, 'Hey, like he asked me, but I'm totally not going to go.'" or do I ask? Anyways, I tell her, I'm like, "Hey, you wouldn't believe the call I got." She just paused and said, "You're not going to believe what I bought you today." She went and got me the same day, about the same time. When I go and tell her, like, "Hey, this guy invited me on this mission trip to go to Nicaragua," she's like, "I bought you a mission bag to take on mission trips today to go to." I was like, she's like, "You have to go." So that started me going. And what that led to is what's a lot to today is I went with these kids, these high school kids, worked with them. And I got invited to come back to meet a group of youth pastors. And my wife and I, getting involved in youth ministry at the time, we said yes. And the first couple of trips I went by myself, and I started to meet these youth pastors in Nicaragua. And to this day, every month, we meet with youth pastors, about a dozen of them. We help do life with them, help facilitate growth. We help to facilitate unity across these different churches, their different denominations, and help resource them and help get them the information that they need, whether it's getting them Bibles or getting them things to help them learn or sharing podcasts, all these different things. So it's just so, so fun we get to do this. And that started a lot of our involvement in Nicaragua. So we have these youth pastors we work with. But what really, really kicked things off, and I told you the other day, is that a little girl named Wendy, a little 6-year-old girl named Wendy, reached out and grabbed my hand, or more or less, she grabbed my pinky because her hand was so little. And God using someone to reach out and grab my hand changed my life forever, because I had gone to Nicaragua. I thought it was fun. I didn't really know what to think of it, but it was that little girl that God used to change my life and bring me back. And to this day, I have such a good relationship with her and all of her family. And that really kicked off what we know as the ministry that we get involved in, do children's homes and churches and homes, things like that. Is I wanted to help them. I found out that they lived in what they call a plastic home, which was the poorest of the poor lived there in Nicaragua, second poorest country this side of the world, apart from Haiti. And she was living in the poorest of the poor on that spectrum as well. So we're like, hey, let's get them in school and get them home. Some friends built a home with us. We had fun. It's not expensive to build a home there, but we could do something better than they had. And then people were excited and people said, hey, like, what's next? And then we did something else and they were like, what's next? And then what's next and what's next? So that was fun. That kicked off Give 30A.
Yes.
But prior to that,
tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah. So what we try to do at Give, at first, I don't think we knew what we were doing. All we wanted to do was just help. But today what we do is we identify gospel-centered organizations in Nicaragua, primarily, at least at this point. And then we just really get to know who they are and understand what their dreams are. And sometimes those dreams are like, hey, something we're wanting to do in a year, something we're wanting to do in 5 years, something that we've tried to do, but no success. And then we scheme behind the scenes here and also work with people there to help bring those dreams to fruition in like days, weeks, and months rather than years and years down the road. And so whether it's finishing a children's home or getting a farm in the green that helps feed, you know, hundreds and hundreds of children every week, or it's getting clean water or good food or whatever it might be, like we're just on board to help people's God-sized dreams come to life much, much quicker. And we've been having such a blast doing that. And we realized like, hey, our best efforts are helping the people who are going to be there full time and who have the dreams for a long, long time, just coming alongside them like family of Christ. Like, hey, if like you're the hands and the feet, like let's be like the elbows and the shoulders that help those hands and feet move even
that's
better.
Right.
So that's what we do there. And with the company that me and you work with, I had been in real estate years prior, and God put it on my heart to really start connecting the two purposes. I almost just wanted to go to Nicaragua and disappear, get out of any kind of business here, and then go there. And God had put it on my heart to, hey, use those two things. I didn't teach you this thing and then this thing. What I'm doing in your life is all connected. There's not compartments for ministry and there's not compartments for business. Like what I'm calling you to do is put them together and use it for good. So I sat down with my boss at the time, which was a little bit scary, and said, hey, a year from now, I'm going to quit. And I feel like God's putting it on my heart to start a company where at foundational level, we give back and help share the gospel and further the gospel through everything that we do. And it just so happened to be real estate, because if I was a chef, I tell people I'd start a restaurant and we'd be getting meals for meals, but it wouldn't matter what it was because it's the core of who I was changed. And the same with you and the same with other people. When their hearts are changed, what their hands and their feet do change as well. And no matter what the skills are that we've been given, he's called us to use them for good. We use our gifts to be a gift to other people. So that was a little bit of background between like the business and then a little bit of the ministry that we do there.
I love that. I when I decided to come on board, you know, I couldn't fathom that somebody was sending out money the way you do. I think it's 25% of everything that comes into the company. You send that straight out, and I don't say that to brag. I say that to be like, your heart is so good, and I laugh sometimes because. Our brother in Christ and my brother-in-law, Travis, he laughs sometimes. He's like, he's the other broker and he's watching the money and he's just kind of laughing like, John's sending it all out. but you do it in a loving, giving way. Cause your heart is to see the lost saved. And that's such a tool that we have is to be able to give and to pour in it. And it's not just the money, it's the boots on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, you going over there and having an experience with Wendy at 6 years old who grabs your hand.
Yeah, man.
And it changes everything, you know, but you don't experience that by not being on the ground. So man, I love your heart and I know that there's some other things that we wanted to talk about and share, but I know time is running a little short. I want to have you back on. I'm going to get with Drew. Is that something that we could do at some point? Is to get you back on and talk about some other things that we had spoke about.
Yeah, I would love to.
And I appreciate it. And I just appreciate your time with us, John. All right, so any last comments or if you could say something to everybody out there, give us something.
Yeah, I think we all go through incredible highs and incredible lows. You'd be surprised what God, He will lead us through. And He's there in the darkness and in the light. And even the darkness is light to Him. And no matter what you're going through, how terrible you think it is, finding the community around you and those believers around you that you can do life with is of the utmost importance. And just, I want to encourage you that every single day that you wake up and every day that you go to bed, God is there and He's inviting you. He's inviting you to reach the people around you, whether it's your neighbors across the street or your neighbors across the world. He's there and it's a beautiful adventure that He's inviting us on. So when the opportunity comes, say yes.
Say yes. Make yourself available. I love that. You know, God uses the ones that make themselves available.
That's right.
You're special, but you're not any more special than anybody else, right?
That's right. The problem's not that, like, hey, I'm someone extra special.
That's exactly
realizing,
right.
Like, hey, everybody's special. It's not that no one's special. It's that everyone's special. They just need to know it.
Absolutely. I think about sometimes, you know, when God calls us into positions and I think, like, why am I here and some other people aren't? I think a lot of it's just availability. We make ourselves available and say yes and just little things. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a prayer group. Maybe it's going to church, starting to go to church. One thing we finish with here on Road to Redemption is we invite everybody to download a Bible app. YouVersion Bible is a lot of guys that I know use. It's called the YouVersion Bible, and you can download that on your phone and just open up the Word of God. You just have no idea how that's going to impact your life and start this relationship with Christ that we just can't even imagine until we actually walk into it. And the second thing is coming to church. We have a beautiful, wonderful church here at Destiny Worship Center, but it doesn't have to be Destiny Worship Center. It could be any church. Step into church. You went to church because you lived across the street. And in that time in your life, it wasn't necessarily, you weren't living perfect because we never are.
No.
We never are. We're still working on things. So despite the brokenness, despite anything that you're going through, you can walk into a church and be welcomed. And if for some reason you're not, you're in the wrong church. So go to another one. And the third thing is community. You said it. Whenever your parents came out of the church and started kind of doing it, they lost that community. And here at Destiny Worship Center on Road to Redemption, we are all huge believers in small group and community because we've seen the impact that it's made on people's lives. And so we just invite you to come into that. We thank you for the time that you shared with us, the stories you shared with us today, John, and look forward to having you on again on Road to Redemption.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Road to Redemption, sharing powerful life testimonies, giving hope to those on their own road to redemption. If you have any comments or questions, we would love to connect with you. You can reach out to us at destinyradio.live. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week on Road to Redemption.